The 10 o'clock hour of Williams House begins now. Jim in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube comments with a good point. I looked at this morning as well when the snap counts were out. The tight end snap counts. Maybe I can have a pass-blocking right guard and a run-blocking right guard. The tight end snap counts with them going very heavily toward running the football yesterday. John Fitzpatrick, 40. Josh Wiley Coyote, 27. Luke Musgrave, 25. Woof. So much for that's been addressed, and he'll play more snaps next week. Not with the way they chose to play. Also, one of the questions that I should have asked after the game and didn't, Lucas Van Ness played 6 snaps. Now, I don't know if that was they had him on a snap count and they just wanted him to
get back for a little bit of work,
or did he re-injure his foot? So that was one of the things that probably should have been asked and didn't, because I did notice that
he went to giving you an
played.
Answer at that point. He went to giving you an answer.
Well, he would. I think he would have acknowledged that he might have re-injured his foot. Like, we got to take a look at that. He had some discomfort or whatever else. But
sure,
that would have been worth asking. All right, let's get back to your calls, because I know there's a bunch of you waiting on hold. There are some open spots as well. Jesse standing by, waiting for you on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Let's go up to the UP and talk to Don. Don, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How you doing?
Hey, Wildy and Tausch. First time, long time. I love you guys.
Wow, I love that.
We love you too, Don.
So now wait, what?
Thanks.
If you're a long time, what made you a first time today? What did we say that made the spirit move you to call?
Well, it's we've been all hearing about the haters about Matt LaFleur's play calling the last month, and you know we all get it, right? It's slow, it's boring, predictable, but for the most part it's worked. You know, we're in a position to take over the division here during the final stretch. But it's funny how the narrative is so different from last week to this week when you lose a game that was close and you win a game that was a blowout, right? And I guess my take with ball has always kind of been play as conservatively as possible to win a game. Take advantage of your situations, especially against bad teams or teams you should beat before you get to December. And then you pull out your unscouted looks when it matters. And you got to have it. You know, everybody can be Detroit, you know, and run trick plays to Dan Skipper in September. And then when it's on the line against the Commanders and you need a play, you're throwing a trick pass with J-Mo when the whole world literally is expecting it. You know, yesterday was a textbook November game at Lambeau. You control the clock, shove the ball down your opponent's throat, and you play violent defense. You know, and it was they hacked out that win, and it could have been a heck of a lot worse. But really, we kind of just did whatever we had to do to win the game and didn't do anything else. But I wanted to go back to the Eagles game just a minute here, if that's all right. And Tausch, sure. If I remember right, you play some blackjack casino now and then, is that right?
That is correct. Hard Rock Casino Rock.
Okay. So let me ask you this. What's the you got a 12, the dealer's showing a 6. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not hitting.
Oh, okay, you got to stand, right? Okay. So what about you got a 16, dealer showing a 7?
Hit. Got to hit it.
You got to hit. And why?
Because
math, right?
Math.
So
you got to math has to math.
Because math. So you sitting in, you got a defense sitting in a too high shell. What do you got to do?
Run the ball.
Run.
You're damn right. You want to take a deep shot, but you can't. That's what they're sitting back there waiting. And sometimes you just can't execute, right? And but you know, at the end of the day, you run a predictive model on this, and over time, maybe not just in the Eagles game, it didn't work out for us, but over time, you will find that running the ball against a too high shell is your best move statistically. And that's what we tried to do against the Eagles, and it didn't work. It damn near worked. We had him on the ropes, but just couldn't pull it out the end, right? And we'll make a little changes, and Taush, you kind of alluded to it already.
Hey, Don, quick question for you.
Yes,
you
sir.
Brought up blackjack.
No, it's here, Taush.
So here's how I look at yesterday. Sometimes you're playing a team with an offense like, you know, Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott's going to be at 18, 19. He's going to have an 8 showing or a 9 showing. J.J. McCarthy and what Cleveland, even with Joe Flacco, who, by the way, I poo-pooed Joe a little bit. But with J.J. McCarthy yesterday, you are playing all day. And this is the dream when you sit down at Hard Rock Casino Rockford. You sit down and there is a 6 in that dealer showing every time. A 4, a 5, or a 6. And you are sitting there and you're like, all right, man, if I have a 9, I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to double. I'm going to double with a 10. I'm going to double with an 11. And anything else, I am going to make sure that that dealer has to draw 5 or less or doesn't have a 10 underneath. But I'm going to make sure they have to come and beat me. Bill Belichick said, more teams lose games than win them. Yesterday was a game. The only way we were going to lose that game is we lose it ourselves. More NFL games are lost because you lose them than by somebody else going out and winning them. That was what yesterday was about.
Seven,
that's what
you're splitting eights, doubling down when you shouldn't, taking shots, trying to go for the jugular when you don't
need
the jugular.
You just take the wins when you can get them. That's right, Don. Great call.
That was brilliant. Might be the innovator. You might be Galileo here.
Oh, no, I'm the innovator of this. Just for the record,
I am
the innovator of this show, Don. But I'm telling you, Da Vinci Wilde over here finally gets one, but he didn't have the courage to jump out on that ledge and test the process to see if it is the vision that he wanted. Thanks for the call, Don. We appreciate you.
Hold on. Taush, I got one more thing for you. I want you to build on this, if you can.
All right.
So what do we see now? It's easy to run the trick plays when you're at the max with A.C. Slater and pulling rabbits, because everybody knows a rabbit's coming. What are we going to see coming here in December? Now we've got our own mix of coming up here. We've got Jaden Reed being healthy, possibly Marshawn Lloyd. We've got this, as you called it, unprecedented six-man rotating front. Watson's healthy. Yep. Kraft is gone. What changes are we going to see that the unscouted looks that the league hasn't seen yet as we make a run?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I think you're going to see maybe a special teams. You let Whelan get out, maybe make a fake punt. I think it's going to be more special teams than on the offensive side of it, but that's the beauty of it. And you're right. If you think back, and again, I know Belichick has taken some shrapnel for his last season, but think when he was in his heyday, he would play games like this and just win, let the other team lose it for themselves. And when did he always pull out trick plays? Teams that were stout, that were really, it's really hard to move the football. Baltimore, double passes from Edelman, tackle eligibles, skirting the rules to get guys that you don't know who's eligible, who's not. You think back, that won them some games. So great point by you in bringing up, hold those puppies. Why would you use one yesterday when you don't need it? Why would you do it? You know, if you need to against the Bears, so be it. But right now, you hold those puppies close, and you see the Philadelphia special. When do they run it? Fourth and goal in a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how you win. You take those calculated risks when that dealer maybe doesn't have a
six. You're not taking a hot chick to a date in September. You're taking her to the prom.
Don, we got to let you go.
I think you might take a hot chick to every day.
Okay. Hey, budding bromance there between Taush and Don in the UP.
I ain't going to lie to you. We need Don brought some good stuff there.
He did. He's the Da Vinci of the callers today.
Is he?
I don't know. I do know that American Family Insurance and you and Sarah have a great thing going here for the holidays.
We do. I'll tell you what was fun. So this spot that Sarah and I taped runs at the Jumbotron, both at football, basketball, and hockey games. And there was a group of loud Illinois fans right in front of us at the booth on Saturday. And all of a sudden, one of the moms was talking to us at halftime, and then all of a sudden, Sarah and I pop up on the Jumbotron, and all the Illini turn and tilt their head, and is that you? I said, oh, baby, that's me. Sarah and I are teamed up again with American Family Insurance to raise funds towards the American Family Children's Hospital through a virtual toy drive. All of the donations, they go towards therapeutic supplies and toys that help thousands of kids and families across the country. Plus, American Family Insurance will match every dollar donated all the way up to $50,000 through the end of the year. Visit amfamkids.org to donate today.
Was there more to that story?
I wanted to get the read in.
The conclusion kind of left us wanting more. It was a good story.
Well, what I was trying to say is it was awesome that we were up on the Jumbotron because we're, you know, I'm sitting here and we're obviously promoting this because we want to get to $100,000. 50 from us and our fans and 50 from American Family to get the 100,000 for the American Family Children's Hospital. And it was nice to see that play out right in front of me at the game with the Jumbotron up, and they looked and it came back and said, oh, my, that's you. I said, yeah, let's do it, baby. So that was the story. What else were you looking for from me?
I don't know.
And then they wrote maybe a $30,000 check and handed it to us?
Yeah,
is that what you were looking for?
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't tell. Maybe they went on and hit the link and made the donation.
Further, or they apologized for their behavior previously because you're such a good guy doing stuff for the children's hospital. Like, maybe they felt like jerks for how they behaved earlier. I don't know. The way your voice trailed off there.
They weren't whistling in my ear after every Viking first down, which I'll talk to you about tomorrow.
Oh,
there's no fan base more annoying than Minnesota Vikings.
Write that down. I can't wait to hear about it.
Wow.
We have a lot more calls to get to. We would like to get to them again. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Definitely the biggest fun playing with the league, for sure, you know. And you just got to keep finding ways, keep going, keep trying to put up as many points as possible, put up as many as possible. But, yeah, playing with a lead, playing when the defense is doing what they're doing, it feels good, and be able to go out there and get a win, and it feels great.
Back to the phones we go. That was Jordan Love after the game, of course. Let's go north of the border, even more north than the UP, to our Canadian Portuguese correspondent, who was not very positive the last couple times we heard from him. I don't think that'll be an issue today. It is Ricardo in Canada. Ricardo, my friend, how are you?
Good morning, everybody. Oh, man, the green and gold Kool-Aid today is extra sweet. It's delicious. It's going down like sweet butter. Love it.
Sugar.
So, comments about yesterday. Yesterday is a homage to the big boys on the team. Offensive line, they're improving. They're getting better. Listen, I'm thoroughly impressed with Sean Ryan at center. I think he may have a future there. He's been playing pretty good, you know. He's been putting in some good tape. You know, not all pro by any stretch of the imagination, but definitely serviceable. Maybe could be seen as a potential backup for the future. Maybe he's earning himself a contract. Who knows? Just throwing it out there. Big boy Belton, he reminds me a lot of the Mekhi Becton when he played for the Jets and went to the Eagles and won a Super Bowl. Big right tackle, put him at right guard. You know, could be a clone copy. Who knows? I'm just saying, Banks, Ryan, and Belton up the middle, that's a lot of beef you got to move. You know what I mean? It's a lot of beef to get through. And we need that. That's good stuff. Defensively, defensive line was amazing. Parsons goes unquestioned. Wyatt. But listen, we may have something in this Georgia kid, Warren Brinson. He's played two games this year, and in both games, he's flashed. He has flashed with some pass rush up the middle, which is something we've been lacking sometimes. Listen, he's earning a little bit more. I don't know. I've been watching him. You know, he's been playing really well. We may have a little hidden gem there. But great game all around. Love them all. And to top it all, everyone was talking about, you know, the play calling, all this stuff. Listen, boys, we play in 4 days, all right? This was the appetizer. This was the pig in the blankets. This was the broccoli with cheese. This was the vegetables and dip, okay? We get through this. We finish the game in, like, half the time as everybody else. Detroit went to overtime. Those guys are tired. We got to travel, you know? We put in an extra shift, made some OT cash, put it in our pocket, and now we go to Detroit, and we're going to and that's where the main course. That's where we're going to show everybody on prime time what we're all about. Be happy. This is the perfect game. No one got severely hurt. We finished in record time. We gone. We go home. This is what we want, all right? So don't give me this, oh, we're going to go for the juggler. Forget about the juggler. We won. That's all I care about, okay? And also, last quote, the MVP of last night for Big Boys was Tauscher. My man, that jacket on prime, on game time after, that was fantastic.
Let's go.
My man. Listen.
Love it, Ricardo.
Guys, us yes. Big guys, I stay away from the puffy jacket sometimes, but you were looking bald. That thing looked nice and slim on you. I'm suggesting
nice
for future,
slim.
Maybe a little suede with the fur collar. Rock it out, my man. You can do it. You can pull it off.
What about a scarf?
Big guys don't do scarves. Big guys don't do scarves.
They don't?
We don't do scarves.
Okay.
No, it's all too right. much. Too much. You got to show the neck. That's the sexy part.
Okay, that's fair.
Great call, right, Ricardo. Boys. We appreciate you.
Oh, Ricardo's the best.
He is indeed. First of all, I would say that the Nixon injury is the one thing that comes out of the game that would concern me. Sure. Secondly, I think he's right about Brinson. I think that he was noticeable yesterday, even in limited work. That is something that you were talking about it last week, if I recall correctly. Devontae Wyatt, since coming back from the injury, had not been a factor. Yesterday, he was again. So maybe you're getting something going in the middle of your defensive line moving forward. We'll see. Their center was coming off of IR, so Ryan Kelly, I think his name is, he did not play probably very well either. That may have factored
in.
He got
bulldozed a few times.
But I just thought it was a... I thought a couple of those observations from Ricardo were on point. Let's get to another call here. 844-770-3776. Let's go up to Minnesota, where Spencer is always surrounded by Paul Allen Vikings fans. Spencer, you should be enjoying today, buddy.
What are you doing?
I am. I actually, I usually listen to your guys post-game, at least the first hour, then when you hop on, Jason, but... driving back from the deer stand this week, and I switched over to some of the Viking radio stuff, and that was a treat to listen to.
What is it? Give us a taste of how Vikings fans that surround you are feeling about a quarterback situation, which, as Tausch pointed out weeks ago, you had Sam Darnold, who I know did not finish the season well, but was pretty damn good for you. You had Daniel Jones on your team, who also has had his moments where he hasn't been great with the Colts, but he has been pretty darn good for most of the year. You had conversations about Aaron Rodgers, and instead you've got J.J. McCarthy. What are your Viking fans' friends feeling about the quarterback situation?
Yeah, it's tough because some of it is just like my own thoughts on it, because obviously being a Packer fan, the whole draft and develop thing has always been my mindset, and they've clearly kind of, you know, tried to do both at the same time here, because I think there was a bunch of, you know, he's not ready, Carson Wentz, yada, yada. Okay, let's see JJ. Now they're seeing JJ, and a lot of them seem to be giving up on him, and it just seems like, hey, maybe it would have made sense to have just not signing a veteran quarterback until Carson Wentz at the end of training camp. You didn't even have a guy in that building to show him, you know, Kevin O'Connell's system who's played in it. So I've loved the mismanagement of the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, third oldest team. They're $37 million over the cap next year. I hope they extend Kwesi again, even though he got one like a month ago. But should I just roll with my positives and negatives now?
You may now, yes. Thank you for your insights.
Okay. First thing I wanted to throw out there, I wasn't sure if you guys were going to do it again. The jingle for your Kringle, my wife bought a Kringle a couple months ago, an almond one. I could not believe how good that thing was. I actually looked to see if it was the Danish one or whatever from your guys's, and of course it was, and it was absolutely delicious.
Well, you better come up with a song. You and your wife need to come up with a duet. for a song for the entry so you guys can win it for a year.
Well, are they eligible outside of the state? I don't know the rules on that.
Ooh.
I'm asked, Jason, it's your contest. Are they eligible or not?
Well, check at ESPNWisconsinContest.com.
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
Positives, negatives, negatives. I mean, they're both kind of the same thing. Matt LaFleur, I mean, I thought he was great overall, but the shotgun runs, I mean, before this we had the Mike McCarthy, Richard Rodgers, 2 yard out that never worked. Early on it was the Matt LaFleur, Lazard, whatever, jet sweep that never worked. And now it's this shotgun run. Even with A.J. Dillon, I hated. I understand Josh Jacobs likes it, which, okay, sure, I guess that at least we're getting some information on why they're running it. But yesterday, I mean, there was 3 or 4 times in a row that we ran out of shotgun where we got nothing or negative 3 yards. But then positive, Matt LaFleur's coaching, I think the last 2 weeks has kind of revitalized my confidence in him.
Mm.
You know, making the switch to Belton, I think is huge, not just for this year, but for next year. If we kept going with Jordan Morgan, we'd be going to the offseason with knowing he can't play right guard, not knowing what Belton is, and the next offseason we have a competition at left tackle with 2 guys we haven't really seen there. So I wonder if they're going to move, if Morgan's going to be the backup at left tackle and left guard, and Kennard will be the backup right guard and right tackle, because it seems like they're more accustomed to each side of the offensive line there. And then again, getting rid of the horizontal passing for the most part, the jet sweeps, even just getting through the week with the Jordan Love injury, which I don't think many people were talking about. And it one of his, you know, being so coy on injuries, I think it really worked out this week, because I don't think anyone was expecting Jordan to really hand off, with his, you know, with his right hand or whatever, the way that he was doing.
Right.
And the last thing I'll leave you guys with, which I want to, it was, I don't usually get surprised or shocked by what you guys say, but a couple months ago, and I don't remember if it was before the season or early on the season, both of you guys, and of course I live down here, both of you guys said that Kevin O'Connell is a better coach than Matt LaFleur. And I've had my doubts on Matt LaFleur, but there is no way that guy is a better coach. I think he's a better motivator, but I mean, he's been handed a couple halfway decent quarterbacks that he can get the job done with, but LaFleur showed that he could coach up Rodgers, which, of course, you know, there's positives and negatives there, and then coach up a learning quarterback in Jordan Love, and he's actually won playoff games when Kevin O'Connell hasn't. So I'm curious if you guys have changed on that opinion that you had.
Oh, snap.
I appreciate the accountability. It certainly was – he got out-coached yesterday, KOC did. Right?
I don't know.
Oh.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What do you want him to do? So last year, Kevin O'Connell was a better coach than Matt LaFleur. He beat us twice. They were better in the division. We both got knocked out in the first round. I stand by that. Now, every year is different. The decision that they made, and Kevin O'Connell, I don't know how much decision-making he has.
But I don't either.
Where they lost their season is when they anointed J.J. McCarthy as their starting quarterback. That's when I said it's over. They're going to finish fourth, and they're going to not be a playoff team. The rest of their roster is good. I don't know what you want Kevin O'Connell to do with what they have. I don't have any answers for you. They have a quarterback. He's not ready, and I don't know if he'll ever be ready. So you could put Vince Lombardi and Bill Belichick and Don Shula and Dan Shula and Mike Shula all in that staff, and they ain't winning that game yesterday. They're not. So Kevin O'Connell last year was a better coach. That's when we said it, probably in July or whenever we were talking about it. I completely felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Kevin O'Connell's a really good coach. Matt LaFleur has had 17 more horses to run yesterday than what they did. That's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, the quarterback situation there, I am very curious, and I understand this is a Packers-centric show, and we will stay focused on that. But do you keep putting faith in J.J. McCarthy next year?
Yeah, if you want to get fired.
At what
point
do you give? Right, that's what I'm asking. At what point do you say, okay, this, look, I don't want to give up on a guy too early, but like, who is the guy?
No, you run Josh, this season. Run
Josh
him through
Rosen?
This season, Jason.
Was it Josh Rosen okay. was the guy that was drafted in the top 10 by Arizona, and then they were
sure.
like, nope, this guy stinks. Right? Remember that?
Oh, I think Josh Rosen's better than McCarthy. Josh
he was out of the league in like three or four seasons, with, and he played for like three or four different teams.
Yes, true, indeed. Yeah. That was
I'm
who I thought
right
of.
I'm saying right now, J.J. McCarthy might turn it around, but J.J. McCarthy, you guys forget, he didn't practice last year. He's out for the whole year.
Correct.
He sat there for a year, and he was green already when they picked him. So it just, you know, it was going to be a tough. It was going to be a tough ask regardless, and it obviously has been. And I think, you know, from their perspective, you ride this thing out with him, see if he makes strides and shows improvement. But regardless of what you do, you're bringing somebody in to compete with him and hopefully probably take the job from him. Yeah. Would be my
Maybe
guess.
Malik Willis. We need to get to more of your calls and texts on the Carbless Talking text line. But first, I want to tell you about Lakeland Supply. They have been a great partner. We're excited to have them on board. Looking forward to, after the Packers season, going down there to Lakeland Supply and seeing their operation. Core values are an important piece to any successful business. And the crew at Lakeland Supply is no different. They've been displaying their core values in the industrial supply space for over 40 years. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They're ISO certified, a Future 50 winner, top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. Lakeland isn't one of those catalog companies either. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans around what you want. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better, so set up that free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. More of your thoughts on the Packers' 23-6 win over the Vikings next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Continuing with the calls, lots of discussion in the YouTube comments. They're not doing their own show, though. I think they're largely discussing what we're discussing. So we'll get to a few of your comments in there if we have time as well. But let's get to a few more calls first on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 844-770-3776. Let's go to Jamon in Dallas. Jamon, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good. I can't good. Wait for you to be a beacon of positivity again.
Yes, sir. What a game by the Packers yesterday. I think it was probably one of the best, well, yeah, over the past few years, one of the best defensive games I've seen for the Packers in a minute. I mean, we're missing guys like Quay Walker, but you can't even tell. Isaiah McDuffie flying around making plays. Evan Williams standing out making plays. Defense seemed like they're really getting things together. No, it was Minnesota, and I don't really have high praise for Minnesota, but, I mean, it was a great win for the defense for sure. Also, on the offensive side, I know a lot of people probably know Jordan Love is still dealing with the hit he took last week. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of plays was coming from, you know, a lot of run plays. A lot of people was hoping we'd be a little bit more aggressive, which I was hoping to on a few third downs. I mean, those are – luckily, this is, like I said, this is the Vikings, so we can get away with things like that. We're playing the Eagles. I want Matt LaFleur having Jordan Love go for it on third down, not just running the ball from shotgun. Like, you know, this doesn't make sense. But for what it called for yesterday, great job by the team. The O-line came in, did what they needed to do. I've been saying this since week one. Anthony Belton needs to be starting. I mean, he was bullying guys when he played against the Eagles. I think you just get the guy on the line. Let him learn. Let him get his hands on guys and learn how to push and move guys out the way. And this guy's going to be a star-studded lineman. I mean, the guy is huge. He's a bully. I mean, I would see him out there than Banks anytime. So, I mean, yeah, hopefully after yesterday's win, you know, maybe Thursday come up and Matt LaFleur watch the little film and get the guy out there. Mm-hmm. Overall, great win by the team. Nothing really to complain about. Let's get ready for Thursday. Hopefully everybody can get healthy so Jordan Love can actually start throwing the ball downfield. I don't think we can win that game against Detroit like we did yesterday. So hopefully everybody gets healthy and we get ready for the Lions.
So I agree with that, and thanks for the call, Jamon. I'm curious. I don't follow him, Tausch, but I saw Christian Watson's dad, somebody tweeted it toward me about how I don't know if it was the 3rd and 3 from the Minnesota 22 that they then ended up kicking the McManus field goal to make it 23-6, or if it was an earlier, I think it was the 3rd and 3 from the Minnesota 11 when they're in the shotgun and they give the ball to Wilson and he gets a 1 yard loss, and then McManus kicks the 30 yard field goal. It's a coin flip in either of those instances because they're both plays where 3rd and 3. That's where I thought Matt LaFleur showed exactly what his mentality was. Because I don't think Matt LaFleur, under most circumstances, is running the ball on 3rd and 3. I think he is throwing the football on 3rd and 3. And I think he felt like those are instances where let's just run it. If we get the first down, great. Otherwise, McManus makes the field goal to make it 20-6, which makes it a 14-point game, and then 23-6 the next time, which makes it a 3-score game. That's all I want. That, to me, is the opposite of what he will do on Thursday in the same situation. If he has 3rd and 3 from the 11 and 3rd and 3 from the 22 in position to score points, I don't think he's settling for a shotgun handoff. And I don't think that's the approach that they can or will take against the Lions on Thanksgiving. Does that all make sense?
We certainly hope not. Yes, we certainly hope not. And again, that's the discipline, because you know LaFleur loves throwing it around. He doesn't want to do that. He understood where the game was, what he needed, and I think he learned some lessons from that Cleveland game. I think he learned. You want people to kind of take, you understand what your football team is, and you understand what your formula to win is, and you don't always have to have kind of your ego or what you want, because he wants this offense to be high-flying. He'd love for Jordan Love to throw for 300 yards a game and two or three touchdowns. That wasn't what yesterday was, and understanding that and then going out and doing it, That's what you're hoping for. So I thought yesterday was a good day of growth. And while there's a lot of people that disagree with me that I thought it was a great day for Matt LaFleur, I stand by it. I just agreed with how he approached it. And I love when your team executes the plan that you put in place. And it's a heck of a lot easier when you got Micah Parsons and the defense playing as downhill as they were. And, again, I don't know if you could have done that without that punt. And yes. The touchdown that came from that, mm-hmm. Once that happened, I think he ended up going more Fort Knox-y. All right, we got this thing locked up. Let's just do it. Let's make sure nobody raids our gold. Let's just make sure it's all secure, and we'll protect it, and we'll move on with our life. That's what that punt that Paul Allen called, and that allowed Green Bay to really – really protect, and then that allowed you to have a very nice, easy, comfortable win at Lambeau yesterday.
Yeah, look, you're 1,000% right. It's 10-6 when the Vikings force that punt. So if they don't bungle that, and they had run the ball more productively, then certainly the Packers defense wants to be allowing teams to do. They allowed the Panthers to do it. They allowed the Giants to do it. And early on, they allowed the Vikings to do it. They get the ball back at 10-6. They don't make J.J. McCarthy try to make plays. Maybe they go down and get a field goal to make it 10-9. Maybe they go down and take the lead at 13-10. But that,
yeah.
No wonder doubtful, Paul Allen maybe. Was so upset, because the game was over after that.
It was, and I think Paul probably knew it. I think LaFleur knew it, and I think if you ask O'Connell, he knew it.
What are you doing?
Two scores was going to be a bridge too far.
Yep.
For Minnesota.
All right, I want to get to Jason and Jeff's calls next. Before that, though, you said something that I just wanted to make sure I heard correctly because I agree with it, but there it feels like there's, including our guy Joshy DiMaggio, who agree with it. You said Matt LaFleur would rather throw the ball. He wants to swing it around. I agree with that, but there seem to be Packers fans who are convinced that he just likes to hand the ball to Josh Jacobs. And that is the way he would prefer to play offense. I don't believe that's true.
No, I think there's times where if Jordan makes a couple of ill-advised throws, I think Matt then kind of tightens up.
I agree.
He's like, well, I can't. That's what Matt LaFleur would love, like he did with Rodgers. You don't think Matt LaFleur wants to run, his offense to be an absolute wagon? That's what he wants. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I think he's still figuring out where that Jordan Love sweet spot is. He's still trying to find that. And by the way, Jordan Love is still inconsistent. I think he's been really good, and I thought he managed that game yesterday in a really nice way. There weren't the, oh, blank, what are you doing? I don't remember. Did he put it in harm's way at all yesterday? He had the one where he kind of scuffed it.
Yep.
He short-armed the throw over the middle. Outside of that, and that was more, I don't know if it was a subconscious thing, I can't throw it there. He also made a couple of big boy plays. I feel like his command is really strong right now.
But it's a week-to-week league, and we will see what Thursday looks like.
You know what? I can't wait. I mean, obviously, I'm excited for this Thanksgiving Day tussle. I think it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to see what formula he is going to have against that Denver Bronco defense out there. That is going to be fascinating. We had Shug, who calls. Shug is always our first caller, almost always, on our post game. And he thinks that the G&G is going to run the table, go 13-3-1. That's what Shug thinks. And I told him, if you can guarantee me we're beating Denver, I don't think you're crazy, but I think we'll be dogs out in Denver, and I'm going to pick Denver. Little spoiler alert, I picked Denver in August, and I'm still picking Denver when we go out there in a couple weeks.
You didn't pick Denver.
I can't wait for that game.
You picked them in May, I think, when the schedule came out.
In August, and I did in September. Yeah.
Spoiler alert, you said that 6 months ago.
Well, in fairness, Denver's been pretty doggone good this year, boys.
Indeed they have.
I don't want to be whatever. I don't want to, because I am not, on the surface,
whatever.
I'm not a braggadocio guy. I'm not. Is that fair?
Tell me how great my analogy was, guy, is what you are.
No. My analogy was fine. Fort Knox.
Come on. How come you didn't say why didn't you give me more?
That's a check marker.
What's your definition of braggadocio? Because based on what your definition is,
like,
maybe you might be right.
Jesse, I'm not like I like to tell you when I'm right, but I am not interested in telling you how great I am. That's not where I want to live, right? Is that fair?
That was a great analogy, though, wasn't it? God, that was a great analogy, wasn't it?
You like
Jesse? I'm going to ask Jesse because what do you think?
I think you like to let people know when you were right. Not so much you don't care about letting people know you're great. You leave that up to the rest of us. Yeah.
Thank you. Uh-huh. That's yes. Okay, and I appreciate when you tell me how great I am, Jesse. That's very nice of you.
Oh, I know
so
you
thank
do.
You.
Same,
but. I don't want to say this because I can't tell you how this was one of those weekends. It was a tiring weekend, but it was an awesome weekend for me. And it was fun. It was a reminder of, we got the great event on Friday, then the Badger game. I was able to call it, got to go to Tornado late Saturday, then got to get up early, go to the Packer game, do the post game. And it just was one of those weekends that, man, I felt really good about my ball knowledge. This weekend. I felt really good about my ball knowledge this weekend of both the Badgers and the Packers. And that's, without anything else, I just felt like I had a really good weekend. That's all I'm going to say.
You went all that way just to say you felt like you knew stuff about football over the last 2 days?
Well, no. Because you can make predictions on things,
Jesse. You're in the
Packers
Hall of Fame. You're the Packers Network analyst. Of course you know stuff about football.
Jesse, what I'm trying to say is there is a predicting part of this that is different than just analyzing what happened. I felt like I had a good gauge on what was going to happen in both games, and I felt like I was correct on both, and that is very – I just want to say it felt good to me. And I just want to make sure you know that that felt good to me. It was a ball-knowing weekend for me, okay? Ball-knowing – a BKW. It was a BKW. And I don't get a lot of times that ain't the case. So I felt good about it.
I feel good about being an Coors Associated Light. Bank customer.
What, Jason, sometimes you can predict something that's going to happen. You write the article, and then your guy has a big game. You don't feel good about that? Of course you do.
Jason,
that's all I'm saying.
Did you have a BKW this weekend also?
I don't have any K, so I'm just here to keep the show on the rails and to tell you
You're
about Associated Bank.
You're just a beat up?
He had a ball observing weekend.
Oh, a bow.
A bow. Take a bow.
He's a bower.
I think Tausch already took
a bow.
No,
he's actually a B-I-W. I don't know how you'd pronounce that. Boo? Blah?
Associated Bank, the best customer service in the business. They've got the awards to prove it, and whether you have Badgers checking, Brewers checking, Packers checking, or just regular old Associated Bank checking with the Associated Bank logo like I do, you know you're taken care of by their great customer service. Whether it's early pay, whether it's credit monitoring, whether it's fraud protection, they've got your back. And as I always like to say, even though I didn't come up with it, it's not branches that make a bank local. It's roots, and Associated Bank's roots run deep in Wisconsin and here in Green Bay, where they were there when the Packers began. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. I understand that we still have one more segment left in the 10 o'clock hour, during which I would like to get to our final two calls from Jason and Jeff.
Ball knowers.
They are both ball knowers.
Well,
it's Wildy and
Tosh. We'll find out. We'll find out.
This is Wildy and Tosh, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Then we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour, even though we're way behind. Jesse, start accumulating your text messages.
How did we get so far behind today? I don't understand this.
I don't know. Some people had a great BKW. Let's go to Jason, the architect, in Hales Corners.
5 minutes to take a victory lap on how much I know about football. Might have had something to do with it.
No, it was the predicting, Jesse. I don't know how many times I have to tell you that.
Okay. Let's not do this. Let's get to the calls.
Okay. All right.
Jason, the architect in Hales Corners. Jason, good morning. How you doing?
Outstanding, gentlemen. Happy Victory Monday. I was actually at the game yesterday.
So was Tausch.
And
yep, so was Jason.
Yeah, I was there with Tausch, yeah. Wish I could have seen
you. So was Jesse.
So was Jesse. Oh, I'm sorry. Jesse was there, too.
Thanks,
so
guys.
Was Brian Bulaga.
Yeah, everybody
He's
was
a ball
there.
Knower. Yeah. Jesse's a ball knower.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, man, you guys, we were just balling yesterday. I just had four things for you guys. Number four, LaFleur did a great job, I think, in coaching yesterday, even though everybody gives him a lot of garbage
Grief.
About his play calling. I think he really played to even being down with, like, Jacobs. I can't believe how well Wilson did. So number four, I would say, would be LaFleur's play calling was outstanding yesterday.
Two.
My number three would be Emmanuel Wilson getting over the century mark. Hallelujah. I think he actually had 125 total yards. My number two was the punt fumble, which gave us the lead going into half. And then my number one I wore my Micah Parsons jersey, hoping to God he'd get some sacks. I was praying for even half a sack. That man got me 2 sacks yesterday. The defense played phenomenal. And if we can carry this momentum going into Detroit, I'm going to predict Green Bay is going to win 27-14.
And if you end up being right on Friday, we'll bring you back and call and say BKW. you had a BKT, a ball knowing Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Is there a way? And I don't want to put more
Thanks,
work
Jason.
On Jesse.
Bye.
Thank you, Jason. So is Jason the architect of Hale's Corner, or is he just an architect that works?
No, he's
in Hale's
just
Corner?
In Hale's Corners.
Hale's you Corner. Don't know. Do you know for sure he didn't do
I
Hale's
am
Corner
very confident because it's been around for a while. I'm very confident Jason did not design Hale's Corners.
Well, you said Jason, architect of Hale's Corner.
No.
So,
Jason the architect in Hale's Corners.
I want to throw something out there because I think we're going to have some fun with this ball no one deal because I think it's fun. What I'd like to do, and Jesse, I know we have to talk to the powers that be. I would like to, whoever has the closest prediction model of what happens in that game, a la the BKW, maybe we get him an Iron Jock light hoodie with Wildy and Tausch on it. Is that something we could pull off?
Hale's Corners.
I'm asking.
Hale's Corners was part of the Northwest Territory of the United States in 1783.
But we, you call in or you put it on the Carbless Talking text line,
Ben
the score,
Franklin.
And kind of how the game
Indians.
Goes. And then they become the, and we put BKW, BKW on the sleeve yeah. of the quarter zip from Iron Jock.
Okay, let's.
Is that something we could do?
Slow down.
Let's get to one last call.
I will see what we could potentially do.
I want to pass out a BKW award.
Okay. Yeah.
It's kind of like the Boldathon, but every week we do a BKW.
That sounds stressful.
Oh boy.
Okay. Are you done?
I don't know. We'll see.
I would love to give out the Iron Jock stuff. It's great. I want people to enjoy it.
It is really nice.
Yeah. BKWs.
All right. All right. Hey. Stop. Ball lower. We got one more call. Then we can spend the 11 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Somewhere. You planning to give out more Iron Jock gear. Let's go to Jeff in Milwaukee. Jeff, did you have a BKW, a ball knowing weekend?
No, I mean, I understand Tausch's point. Every week you've got ideas and an analysis. You know, his is based on playing and years of history. Most of us are just not on playing, but being fans. And it's nice when, you know, your experience and what you're doing actually comes to play out the way you thought it would. And it doesn't always happen. And so it is a good feeling.
A lot of times it doesn't.
Okay.
And so then you take a lengthy victory lap and prevent Jeff from getting
it. It was a minute. You act like it was 5 minutes. It was 1 minute.
It was not a minute.
Jeff, go ahead. Let's not have semantics here. Jeff.
All right. So
let's go to the phones.
Tausch, I called.
Jeff's got his own show. He's taking calls.
I called. Tausch, I called. I called yesterday. I was the second caller, and then we got disconnected. So anyways, with regard to Jordan Love, the play you're talking about is where there was a free runner at him, and he threw a ball over two actual linebackers and hit Wicks with a perfect pass on third down. And it was, I mean, that is the type of play, I'm just going to say, an average or even a really good quarterback can't make. I mean, it just... He stood in there. He took the hit. With regard to the play calling, I am willing. There's a caveat. I'm willing until we see Thursday's game to give LaFleur a bit of a pass because he was hyper conservative, and I think one of the reasons was honestly that we're not appreciating, or I didn't think we appreciated at the time. I think Love's shoulder was actually bothering him more yesterday than it was during the Giants game. I mean, if you saw the way he was handing off backhanded, I mean, he really didn't want to extend it. And I think that's why he was in shotgun a lot. So I'm willing to give LaFleur a pass, you know, and I've been critical of his play calling, and I'm going to – my concern about Matt LaFleur is he goes into a game, and this is what he's got to prove, and if he proves me wrong, I'll be the first one to say I'm wrong. He goes into a game with a game plan, and when that game plan works, he's great. He's a little bit like Mike Budenholzer was. He goes into a game with a game plan, and if it's not working, he struggles to figure out what to do next. So I hope they open up. I hope they open up the offense on Thursday. This is. I just want to lay this out and get your guys' thoughts on this. Teams take the lead of their coach. One of the things that Matt's liability is when he gets tight and nervous. Everybody in the stadium, everybody who's you can all feel it. And I'm sure it transcends to his players when he gets nervous. So this is the thing. Tausch, in 2010 when you were on the team, Mike McCarthy did two things that I thought were really brilliant in terms of that team. He said to the team, we are nobody's underdog. And I think that galvanized the team and gave them a lot of confidence. The other thing that he did is he was very open about this. He gave Aaron Rodgers the keys to the car. And it wasn't, you guys got to remember this, look back. It wasn't Jason says, this was before Aaron Rodgers kind of became Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers became Aaron Rodgers in 2011 through 2014. And he started to become Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs in 2010. But I think a key part of that was giving Rodgers the keys to the car. If you look at Rodgers' statistics for that year, regular season, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 3,922 yards. Jordan Love right now is on pace for 24 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and 4,000 yards. At some point, you got to make the leap. He's got to give Jordan Love the keys to the car. And you got to live with it. And you can't, and I'm saying this, if he gives him the keys to the car and Jordan Love makes a few bonehead mistakes and bad decisions, you still got to give him the keys to the car. Yeah, whatever. Mm. He threw one ball that was kind of up in the air in the game yesterday, and it was to Wicks in the fourth quarter, but it was deep into the Vikings territory. I mean, if they would have picked it off, they would have had the ball on the 10-yard line. And it was on third and long. So, you know, the situation kind of, you know, if you never want to do it, but the situation was in the favor to be more aggressive. So That was my question to you guys. At some point, let this offense run through Jordan Love and give him the keys to the car, and can Matt LaFleur do it? So that's just a point of discussion. And you guys, thanks for having the show. I appreciate it.
So I'm glad two things Jeff brought up there. One, I do think that Jordan Love's shoulder is a bigger issue than he was letting on. And the reason I believe that is what Jeff said, because he didn't hand off with his right hand.
He oppoed it. Yeah, he oppoed it.
Right. He didn't do that when his thumb was jacked up. Remember? He had the brace on, but he still handed it up normally for most of the time. But when his shoulder was a problem, he did do the wrong hand handoff for balls. Let's see if it's the right hand. Oppo'd. It would be he was using his right hand for runs to the left, which he normally
wouldn't. It's like
doing
a layup with the same foot. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Right. So that was what told me, and I had the exact same thought when I saw him doing it, that this is more. And look, I said it earlier. It's the injury that Carson Wentz had. Obviously, his was worse, where you could see him in excruciating pain. We saw it last night. Baker Mayfield didn't finish the game.
Yep.
And it's the same injury, obviously more significant, but let's not poo-poo the seriousness of this or why Matt LaFleur took the approach he did. Secondly, I brought up the old all gas, no brakes yesterday on Twitter and when I was on with Homer on Green Bay game night. I think Thursday is probably a game, to Jeff's point, where they're going to have to be a lot more gas and a lot less break.
Maybe not all.
Right, not all. But that's the difference. They're going to have to probably do some serious scoring. We'll see what their defense does. Maybe their defense shuts down the Lions again.
Yep, I think that's right. The question. And I think Jeff's point with Matt LaFleur, when he has a plan and it doesn't go the way the plan is in place, I thought that was an awesome point by Jeff.
I agree. Almost as awesome as Coors Light.
Yep, Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it is made to chill. It was nice. It was a little chilly day yesterday. Didn't have to worry. The mountains were blue from the jump right away yesterday. Mountains blue. Yep, old T wanted to chill. Make sure you have that Coors Light. That's what I like. Hopefully you like it as well. Only 102 calories. Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
Record-settingly behind schedule. It is 11:21.
Yeah, I don't even know how. Like, I just don't know how. No Bulaga, Evan. How?
You're making it even longer.
That's why I'm doing it.
Go back and check the film. I think it'll stand out.
Yeah, I know.
We'll be back in 2 minutes. Oh. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.